Tristan, where the hell are you speaking from?
The kiosk outside the Drovers, 5 pints inside me, feeling a bit puckish. Thought I'd give you a ring.
By God, I'll murder you one of these days if you don't stop this game. It's putting years on me. Now and again isn't so bad, but this is the third time this week.
Ah, but this was by far the best, Jim. It was really wonderful. When you started drawing yourself up to your full height, it nearly killed me.
Oh, God, I wish you could have heard yourself.
He trailed off into helpless laughter. And then my feeble attempts at retaliation, creeping, trembling into some lonely phone box.
Is that young Mr. Fannin?
In a guttural croak.
Well, this is Tilson of Highwoods. I want you to come out here immediately. I have a terrible case of...
Excuse me for interrupting, Jim, but... Is there something the matter with your tonsils?
Oh, good.
Well, go on with what you were saying, old lad. Sounds very interesting. There was only one time when I was not on the receiving end. It was Tuesday, my half day, and at 11:30 a.m. a call came in. An eversion of the uterus in a cow. This is the tough job in country practice, and I felt the usual chill. It happens when the cow, after calving, continues to strain, until it pushes the entire uterus out and it hangs down as far as the animal's hocks. It is a vast organ and desperately difficult to replace, mainly because the cow, having once got rid of it, doesn't want it back. And in a straightforward contest between man and beast, the odds were very much on the cow. The old practitioners, in an effort to even things up a bit, used to sting the cow up by his hind legs, and the more inventive among them came up with all sorts of contraptions like the uterine valise, which were supposed to squeeze the organ into smaller bulk. But the result was usually the same. Hours of back-breaking work. The introduction of the epidural anesthetic made everything easier, by removing sensation from the uterus and preventing the cow from straining. But for all that, the words, calf bed out, coming over the line, were guaranteed to wipe the smile off any vet's face. I decided to take Tristan in case I needed a few pounds of extra push. He came along, but showed little enthusiasm for the idea. He showed still less when he saw the patient, a very fat shorthorn lying quite unconcerned in her stall. Behind her, a bloody mass of uterus, afterbirth, muck and straw spilled over into the channel. She wasn't at all keen to get up, but after we'd done a bit of shouting and pushing at her shoulders, she rose to her feet, looking bored. The epidural space was difficult to find among the rolls of fat, and I wasn't sure if I'd injected all the anesthetic into the right place. I removed the afterbirth, cleaned the uterus and placed it on a clean sheet held by the farmer and his brother. They were frail men, and it was all they could do to keep the sheet level. I wouldn't be able to count on them to help much. I nodded to Tristan. We stripped off our shirts, tied clean sacks round our waists, and gathered the uterus in our arms. It was badly engorged and swollen, and it took us just an hour to get it back. There was a long spell at the beginning when we made no progress at all, and the whole idea of pushing the enormous organ through a small hole seemed ludicrous, like trying to thread a needle with a sausage. Then there was a few minutes when we thought we were doing famously, only to find we were feeding the thing down through a tear in the sheet. Siegfried once told me he had spent half a morning trying to stuff a uterus up a cow's rectum. What really worried him, he said, was that he nearly succeeded. And at the end, when hope was fading, there was the blissful moment when the whole thing began to slip inside and incredibly disappeared from sight. Somewhere halfway through, we both took a breather at the same time and stood panting, our faces almost touching. Tristan's cheeks were prettily patterned where a spouting artery had sprayed him. I was able to look deep into his eyes, and I read there a deep distaste for the whole business. Lathering myself in the bucket and feeling the ache in my shoulders and back, I looked over at Tristan. He was pulling his shirt over his head as though it cost him the last of his strength. The cow, chewing contentedly at a mouthful of hay, had come best out of the affair. Out in the car, Tristan groaned.
I'm sure that sort of thing isn't good for me. I feel as though I've been run over by a steamroller. Hell, what a life this is at times.
After lunch, I rose from the table.
I'm off to Broughton now, Tris, and I think I'd better mention that you may not have seen the last of that cow.
These bad cases sometimes recur, and there's a chance that that little lot may come out again. If it does, it's all yours, because Siegfried won't be back for hours, and nothing is going to stop me having my half day. For once, Tristan's sense of humour failed him. He became haggard. He seemed to age suddenly.
"Oh, God," he moaned. "Don't even talk about it. I'm all in. Another session like that, it would kill me. And on my own. It would be the end of me, I tell you."
"Ah, well," I said sadistically. "Try not to worry. It may never happen." It was when I saw the phone box about 10 miles along the Broughton Road that the thought struck me. I slowed down and got out of the car. "I wonder," I muttered, "I wonder if I could do it just once." Inside the box, inspiration was strong in me. I wrapped my handkerchief over the mouthpiece, dialed the practice number, and when I heard Tristan on the line, I shouted at the top of my voice.
"Are you chunk fellow that put our cow's calf bed back this morning?"
"Yes, I'm one of them." Tension sprang into Tristan's voice. "Why? Is there something wrong?"
"Aye, there is something wrong,"
I bawled.
"She's putting it out again."
"Out again? Out again? For all of it?" He was almost screaming.
"Aye, it's a terrible mess. Pouring blood on about twice size it was this morning. You'll have some job with her."
There was a long silence, and I wondered if he'd fainted. Then I heard him again, hoarse but resolute. "Very well, I'll come straight away." There was another pause, then he spoke again, almost in a whisper. "Is it out? Completely?" I broke down then. There was a wistful quality about the words which defeated me. A hint of wild hope that the farmer may have been exaggerating, and that there might only be a tiny piece peeping out. I began to laugh. I would have liked to toy with my victim a little longer, but it was impossible. I laughed louder and took my handkerchief from the mouthpiece so Tristan could hear me. I listened for a few seconds to the frenzied swearing at the other end, then gently replaced the receiver. It would probably never happen again, but it was sweet. Very sweet.